भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Okay, we're reading chapter 10. And the name of this chapter is The Opulence of the Absolute. Krishna in this chapter, it is starting with Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. So Krishna is speaking from his own accord. And he is saying, Bhuya eva mahabaho shrinu me paramam vachah yatte aham priyamanaya vakshayami hitakamyaya. There's vakshayami hitakamyaya. Krishna is saying, I am speaking vakshayami. I am telling you. Hitakamyaya. For your benefit. So, Krishna, from his own causeless mercy, he is telling about himself. Why? Because the more you know about Krishna, the more you will know him. Prabhupada mentions in the purport, we must hear about Krishna. And in this purport, in the last paragraph of this purport, first verse, 10th chapter, first verse, Prabhupada writes, the more one hears about Supreme God, the more one becomes fixed in devotional service. You got it? So that is the point. If any time you don't feel you are advancing, this means you are not hearing about God. And you can check. That is the diagnosis of not advancing in devotion. So, yeah, we have seen many devotees in ISKCON and everywhere, in all institutions, Gaudiya Math, every mission. The lack is of proper discussions about God. That's the point where we lack. Because of no time. That's we discussed. No time. So if we don't have time for Krishna, Krishna doesn't have time for us. Simple. He's also busy. He's more busy than us. But Prabhupada continues, one should always hear about the Lord in association of devotees that will enhance one's devotional service. Discourses in the society of devotees can take place only among those who are really anxious to be Krishna consciousness. I'm reading from the purport. That's what Prabhupada mentions. Why we are not discussing about Krishna? Why? Even though we are with devotees. What's happening? Prabhupada says, discourses in the society of devotees can take place only among those who are really anxious to be in Krishna consciousness. Like Parikshit and Sukhdev. When they came together, Bhagavatam was spoken. Because both were anxious to know what is truth. Or maybe, all Puranas you read, the discourses between great sages, Gargi and Maitreya, Vidur and Maitreya, then Uddhav also discussed with Vidurji, Nimi Maharaj and this Prachetas, and there are like all discussions. Why? Because when two devotees who are anxious to know about Krishna, they will discuss about Krishna. Suppose if you want diamond and you meet somebody who also wants diamond, then they will discuss, you know, let's plan, you know, let's get diamonds. That's all. They're talking about diamonds. So similarly, if I am anxious about Krishna, how to get Krishna? That's the point. That's what we discussed. The desire to attain Krishna. People who have desire to attain Krishna, they will discuss about Krishna. So wherever your desire is, you are there. So that's the crux of this chapter. The crux of this chapter is, Krishna is telling, hear about me, my greatness. And how I am great, Prabhupada used to tell, it's not enough to understand Krishna is great, but how he is great. Mm-hmm. And that he will explain in this chapter and also in the next chapter, 10th, 11th chapter, both are about that. And how do we know about Krishna? By his mercy. Krishna says, I am telling you. You cannot know by your mental speculation. I am telling you. Otherwise, if you simply sit and try to speculate, you cannot know. You cannot understand me. You have to hear from my devotees. You have to read. You have to get information. Then you will have transformation. Otherwise, you will be same. So that is why in second verse Krishna says, Name vidu suragana prabhavam na maharshaya aham adhiri devanam maharshi nam sa sarvasha. Neither host of demigods, big demigods, they don't understand Krishna. Nor great sages, munis, rishis, they do not know my origin or opulences. For in every respect, I am source of demigods and sages. And Prabhupada writes in the purport that just by because many sages and many demigods, they don't understand Krishna because they try to understand him from their own small intelligence. You cannot do that. But if you want to understand Krishna, there is just one quality you should have. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport that one quality is faith. In what is written in scriptures? Just. And what is written in Gita specifically? And Gita, Krishna says that I am the Supreme Lord. I am. You should worship me. Should fix your mind upon me. Prabhupada writes in the last paragraph of this purport. Because most men cannot understand Krishna in his actual situation, out of his causeless mercy, he descends to show favor to such speculators. He not only speaks about himself, he comes down and speaks among us. What else mercy you want? No. It is as if somebody is going to Dadar, you know Dadar Bombay, right. Slums of Dadar, right. And telling, you know, I am this. For Krishna, this material world is like Dadar, you know, it's like a nonsense place. He doesn't want to come here, he is enjoying his spiritual world, where is this eternity, knowledge, bliss. Here, everything is temporary. It is dead. And it is just suffering, that's all. So, it's his mercy he comes here. He doesn't need to come here. Because he knows that even if we read scriptures, we will not believe. We are doubtless, what's that? Doubting Thomas. We are aware that. We have doubts. We don't accept things. And also in this age, there are many speculators, Prabhupada says. Yet despite Supreme Lord's uncommon activities, these speculators, there are many speculators, people are speculating from their own mind. Due to contamination, material energy, still think that impersonal Brahman is supreme. Still many people think Krishna is light, he is impersonal. That's not supreme. That's impersonal feature of Lord is just his effulgence of his body. That's all. If you see Krishna from very far, you will think that he is light. But when you go close, Jyoti Abhyantaram Shyama Sundaram, that is in Chandika Upanishad. Jnanis see him as Jyoti from very far. But Jyoti Abhyantaram Shyama Sundaram, within that Jyoti is Shyama Sundaram. If you can penetrate that light through love, you can go. You can penetrate that light by hearing about him. So Prabhupada says, only devotees who are fully surrendered unto Supreme Lord can understand by grace of Supreme Personality that he is Krishna. The devotees of the Lord do not bother about impersonal Brahman conception of God. Do not bother about Jyoti and all those things. Their faith and devotion brings them to surrender immediately to Supreme Lord, and out of causeless mercy of Krishna, they can understand Krishna. No one can understand him. So even great sages agree that what is Atma, what is Supreme? It is he whom we have to worship. If you want to understand Krishna, those who want to understand Krishna, they accept the fact that we cannot understand him. And Brahma says, those who say that they have understood Krishna, let them say.
They have not understood.
They have not understood. Let them say. They have not understood Krishna. So, the point is, don't apply your intelligence. Because Krishna is infinite. We can apply intelligence. It's not that we have to be blind. Otherwise, why Krishna is speaking Gita? He's giving so many logics. But Krishna is telling, see, you should apply your intelligence to the limit you must apply, not beyond your limits. And there's a limit. There's a limit in which humans can apply intelligence. But don't trespass the limits. Otherwise, you can understand. For example, in scriptures it is said, Earth, there is Mount Meru in Earth. You know this. Bhumandal. Now where is it? Nobody knows. You have GPS, you have satellite, you can't see. So that's where the limit is set by scriptures. No. There is Mount Meru, but you cannot see. It is in another dimension. So, well, you can say, okay, fine, we have seen Africa, we have seen America, we have seen everything from satellite, but we can't see Mount Meru, so it doesn't exist. No. So, scripture says, yes, yes, you can see this, but you cannot see this. They have put a point. Yes, you can know this by science. They have also told you can not know this by science. So, what you cannot know, don't try to know it. You have to accept it, that's all. Finish. Soul, what do you do about soul? Simple. So, if you read Ayurveda, Ayurveda says about, Ayurveda talks about cells, Ayurveda talks about lymphatics. We didn't know about lymphatics many years back, but we know lymphatics. Ayurveda talks about brain, Ayurveda talks about everything possible, what we know in anatomy and physiology. But Ayurveda also talks about soul, and Ayurveda sets a limit. You can know this thing, blood, fat, marrow, lymphatics, brain, genes, but you cannot know soul. So you should not now trespass the limits and know. So, but we will try to understand soul. No. Don't try to know which you cannot know. Except that's what Krishna is saying here. That is why these sages and demigods, many demigods and sages, they try to understand Krishna by speculation. They try to trespass the limit. And then there's a problem. And especially Krishna, we cannot know by our speculation.
Mount Meru actually goes up till
till Brahma. Brahma,
Loka, yeah.
Brahma. Who knows where is it?
But a devotee, he can perceive
by causeless mercy of Lord.
Causeless mercy. Okay.
Only who can know Krishna? I told yesterday. Whom Krishna wants him to know, he cannot know otherwise. So whom Krishna wants, Krishna will not just let everybody know him. To whom who have absolute faith and surrender to Krishna and his words, they will reveal this mystery. Otherwise you cannot. Who follow rules and regulations of the scriptures, everything properly, they can know. And everything is possible by chanting Hare Krishna. That's holy names of God. Okay, so now Krishna is talking about himself. See, the chapter's name is Opulence of Absolute, no?
Mm-hmm.
So first he says, who cannot know me and who can know me? Now this question is solved. So, okay, fine. You can know him how? If you hear about him with faith and surrender. So, now Krishna is talking about himself. What is best? That is a Gita special. Gita, speciality of Gita is that Krishna is talking about himself. Other scriptures, Vedas, Puranas, Itihasas, somebody else is talking about God.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's the point. Yes. That is speciality of Gita. So, this is perfection. That is why all Hindus means, Hinduism means Gita. No? If one scripture, Gita. If you say Hinduism, or Sanatan Dharma is a better word. So, if you don't know Gita, you don't know anything. Even if you know all Vedas, all Puranas, all Itihasas, everything. Because this is perfect knowledge. Okay, so now he talks, I am going forward. You can go fast forward and Krishna is talking about himself. That's all. Now you come to 8th verse. 8th, 10th chapter, 8th verse, 9th, 10th, 11th. These four verses are called as Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita summarized in four verses. So, why Krishna is telling about himself? So that we become determined, we advance in devotion, no? Hearing is devotion. Devotion is means hearing. And what you hear, you speak chanting. That's all. You hear about Krishna, you speak about Krishna. You hear his holy names, you speak holy names. That is devotion, simple. It's very simple. We have to apply the process. That's all. Without excuses. So, aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartate. Iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhav samanvita. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. See, Krishna says, aham sarvasya prabhavo. I am source of all spiritual and material world. Sometimes Shiva is also called God. in scriptures. But yes, but that's also okay because he's God of this material world. In material world, he is top.
Durga Devi was the...
No, Durga is wife of Shiva.
Oh, but
so he is top. Wife is. So he is there. But that's why he's called God. Even Durga is also called God. No. She is also top in material world. But Krishna says, I am top of material and spiritual world. So Krishna is also God. So in scriptures you will find that many other demigods are also called God sometimes. That's all relative position. Relative. For a villager, his sarpanch is God. No. And then for employees, their boss is God. Is it? For disciples, their guru is like God. They worship. For husband, their wife is God. No. Whatever you say, okay. No argument. Surrender. And for devotees, Krishna is called, we know. You know, so that's why Krishna says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo, Matta Sarvam Pravartate. Everything comes from me, and Matta Sarvam Pravartate means everything I inspire, I move. Of all these objects behind this, if you look carefully, by devotion, I am there. And behind all the movement, what is happening? The movement of water, the heat of fire, the sound of sound, the sight of sight, he is that. That's why he's saying, Matta Sarvam Pravartate. In Upanishad, it is said, who is that who is the sight of sight? The ears of ears, the smell of smell, and the speech of speech. Whom the mind cannot know, but who knows the mind? Whom the eyes cannot see, but who can see everybody? That is God. So that's why Krishna says, I am there in the background, but nobody knows me. And, okay, fine, there's a quiz. So nobody knows Krishna, but he knows everybody. Krishna is doing everything, but still people think that I am doing everything. So why is it, okay, so Krishna is telling about himself in this chapter, no? He has told some information. And what do you deduce from this information? What do you want to deduce from this information about nature of God? What do you say?
From this verse, Prabhu.
Yeah, from this verse, specifically from this verse, yeah. So, what do you deduce? One deduction is...
He is the doer of everything.
Okay, one deduction is that he is the director and the producer and
actor
is we are actors. No. But he's directing the movie, but we think we are directing our own things. But that is okay, that is the function of God. What about his nature? Can you know something about director? That's my question. Now, what can you know about director from this verse? That's a question. So you can know, see the point you can know from this verse is, Krishna says that the one thing you can understand about his nature is that he is very humble. Because on the contrary, people think that he is egoistic because he is telling about himself. I am the origin of everything. I am this, I am that, oh come on. But no, actually he is humble. Because when fools speak about themselves, they are egoistic. When great people speak about themselves, they are humble. Is it? And Krishna is humble. He is doing everything. He is saying, I am doing everything, but nobody knows me. He told no. So, is it not humility? Because what about us? If we even do this little much, the entire world knows we have done this. We just propagate, you know, we have this habit. But Krishna is doing everything, but You never know about him. He doesn't tell you. And that is the humbleness of God. It is just the contrary conclusion.
He is revealing the source code. He's taking up the burden of developer problem.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So out of his mercy now he's telling. Otherwise he wouldn't have told this. Because he's humble. That's the point. And we can learn from Krishna. We can learn from Krishna that we like this we should be good servants. Servants do their service, but never let anybody know that I am doing the service. They give credit to others. So that is like in Bhagavatam, this example of water is given. So what about water? Water nourishes everything, no? All plants, all grass, humans. Water is life, Shastra, as it is said. But where does water stay? In the lowest position. If you keep it high, it will go down. It can't stay high. It will go down. The lowest position it will take. So similarly, intelligent people and devotees of Lord, they always take lowest position. And in the service. And then they help, they nourish others by service attitude. But they are in the lowest position. And from where they learn this? From Krishna. Krishna is there, it doesn't tell. You direct a movie and you don't tell who is the director. Which director is there? There is no director like that. Only Krishna is like that. Because he doesn't want name and fame. So that's the nature. So that's what you have to deduce from. Krishna is telling something, but you have to understand. And Prabhupada writes in the Prabhupada, you read afterwards. And then what Krishna says, so will you like such a person? Everybody likes such a person, no? Who is so humble, who is doing everything, who is helping everybody. So that's what we have to do. Iti matva bhajante mam. By knowing this, the wise who know perfectly, this 10th chapter 8th verse I am reading, translation. The wise who perfectly know this, engage in my devotional service. See, after knowing about Krishna, you should start wise. Wise means, who is a wise person? Who understands this? Who understands the nature of God? And then he's attracted to him. Yeah, who will not serve such a good person? I want to serve him. He serves him. Only a fool will not serve him. Because he has not understood Krishna. That's all. He is Buddha Bhav Samanvita. He worships them with all his hearts. Worship them with all their hearts. Simple. So this is, the more you know about Krishna, the more you are attracted. The more you will worship him. See, if you read Gita and you read, okay, yes, Krishna is so nice, he is so humble. Then you want to do. If you don't hear about Krishna, you will not want to want. Actually, there is a want, desire. You don't desire to serve him. You don't desire to know about him more. So the more you know him, the more you want to know about him. He's good person. Bad person, it is other. The more you know about bad person, the more you don't want to know about him. Forget him. I don't want to know. So that's what is Krishna telling about nature. And 9th verse he tells about his devotees. Now he tells about himself. But when he talks about himself, he can't resist talking about his devotees. That is his nature. Because he has told about himself, but he can't separate himself from devotees, because there is no identity of Krishna without his devotees. He doesn't feel himself different from his devotees. That's the idea. So he's talking about his devotees. Thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. 10th chapter 9th verse. Their lives are fully devoted to my service. They derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. See, simple. That's what devotees are. Prabhupada writes a big purport in this. The only symptom of pure devotee is they're always talking about Krishna. If you want to know who is a devotee, this is one symptom, big symptom, mukha prasadat. By their words you can know. No. It is said, no, fool is not known until unless he speaks. He opens his mouth. So, if you want to know who is a devotee, just talk to him. You can know in 5 minutes what he's talking. And if he is really a devotee, he will be always talking about Krishna. Devotee is infatuated about God. So people have infatuation for money. People have infatuation for themselves. So we have infatuation for Krishna. That is Vrindavan. That's all. Everybody is infatuated. Obsessed. And they are continuously talking about Krishna. So That's one symptom of a devotee. And the second symptom is their lives are fully devoted to their service. There are two symptoms of a devotee. You cannot know a devotee by his dance, by his meditation, that he may be doing. Just two symptoms. His life is devoted to Krishna. That means whatever he does, whatever he thinks, he's planning how to know Krishna. That's what is object and aim of life. And second, because his life is dedicated to Krishna, he'll talk about Krishna. It's very simple. That's how you can know yourself and others. So that is 9th. And then 10th verse and 11th verse, 10th chapter, Krishna says, okay, so fine, devotees are talking about me, they're dedicated to me. How do they know me? See, now he was talking that people do not know me. By causeless mercy, they know me. Mm-hmm. But the question is, what is the science behind this mercy that they know you? How by mercy they know you? Mm-hmm. These kind of devotees, who are always talking about him, who is determined. Not everybody. So how they know him? Krishna is telling the science. In 10th, 11th chapter, Krishna says in 10th chapter, 10th verse, Kesham satade uktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dami buddhi yogam tam ye namam apyanti te. Those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they come to me. So by mercy, he gives the understanding. Buddhi yogam. And I told you, so what is understanding Krishna gives? See here, the last paragraph of 10th verse. 10th chapter, 10th verse, last paragraph. Mm-hmm. A person may have a bona fide spiritual master, may be attached to a spiritual organization, but if he is not still intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. If he is not able to make enough progress, not out of laziness, not out of hypocrisy, but out of inability, weakness of heart, weakness of intelligence. Everybody is not that intelligent, no. Everybody is not that strong. But he wants to make progress, but he cannot. That's the idea. To such a person, Krishna will give instructions from within. And what kind of instructions he'll give? What is the instruction he gives? So, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately attain to him. Last line of the purport. The Lord gives him a chance to make progress. Mm-hmm. How does he give a chance to make progress? By giving him opportunities to serve. And by putting him in such a situation where he will be bound to get an experience. You see, that's how he trains his devotees. If you put a person in a situation, he will have to learn. He will have to learn by situation. What do you do? What do you do with that? If I push you in water in a swimming pool, you will have to learn swimming. You will yourself learn swimming. I don't have to say anything. I'll just push you, and you will start moving your hands, and you will learn swimming. See. So similarly, Krishna will give us intelligence. How? By pushing us into some experiences. And then from that experience, you will gain some knowledge. Is it? Either suffering or happiness. And then you also have association of devotees. He will give you association of devotees. And they will give you insight into this experience. So yes, you suffered. Why you suffered? Because of this. Because it's mercy of God. He wants to make you understand this point. For example, this very point. Now, he gives a chance to make progress by association of devotees and by putting us into some experiences, either suffering or happiness, whatever is Krishna thinks, and ultimately attain to him. He gives intelligence to understand those experiences. Because many people suffer, but they don't deduce proper conclusions, no? Everybody cannot deduce that this suffering is mercy. And Krishna is making us understand this material world is full of sufferings. So he's so merciful. He plans something in a life, he is planning, he puts him in that situation, he gives the intelligence to interpret that situation in a proper way, and that intelligence he provides through his devotees and through scriptures, and that's how a devotee starts learning. It's such a... So, he's taking so much pains to make us understand, no? Like a teacher, a student who fails, teacher will do something, no? He has to pass. She'll beat him or she'll do some kind, she'll make something, you know, so maybe some fun learning or something, devise something so that he learns. That's what Krishna is like that. And then this is one thing. And 11th verse, Krishna says, to show them special mercy, I dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So Krishna says, I give them special mercy because they are giving me special attention. And I, in their dwelling hearts, destroy the shining lamp of, with the shining lamp of knowledge, the darkness born of ignorance. And what is that lamp of knowledge? That lamp of knowledge is the intelligence to discriminate what is favorable to my service, what is not favorable to my service. What is sense gratification? What is service? And what is... what is illusion? And what is Krishna? He will give you from your heart. And then you can make progress. And I just wanted to quote something. Where is this verse? I just missed it or what? Okay, come to this verse, verse number 3. Verse number 3 purport and last paragraph. I'm just going behind. So people who are hearing on phone, they can, if they have Gita, they can go back to 10 chapter 3rd verse and last paragraph. Everybody got? So Krishna is saying, anything done under the direction of Krishna is transcendental. Everybody got this line?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Krishna says, anything done under direction of Krishna is transcendental. It cannot be contaminated by material reactions, which may be auspicious or inauspicious. This is intelligence Krishna gives. The conception that there are things auspicious, inauspicious in material world is more or less mental concoction. Because there is nothing auspicious in this material world. Everything is inauspicious because of very material nature is inauspicious. We simply imagine to be auspicious. Real auspiciousness depends on activities in Krishna conscious in full devotional service. If we want all activities to be auspicious, then we should work under direction of Supreme Lord. This is what intelligence Krishna gives. Without Krishna, we concoct this is good, this is bad. From our own perception, no? From our own small intelligence, is good, this is bad, this is auspicious, this is inauspicious. But Krishna says, no, Krishna gives us intelligence. Without me, everything is inauspicious. Simple. Nothing.
Can you give an example of inauspicious?
Like simple. I mean to say, if for example, people think doing charity is good, it is good.
Mm-hmm.
But scripture says, Krishna says, if you do charity, keeping me out, not linked with me, a result is inauspicious. Now you go and you give some charity to some people.
Some banker, hunger,
you give food. Okay, that's good. But the point is, because there's no Krishna there, it will harm him. Result will be bad because he'll food. And then what he'll do? He'll do sin because he doesn't have knowledge of Krishna. He will harm others, no?
So if you give him prasadam, then...
So yeah, give him prasad. Give him some knowledge of Krishna. Ask him to chant Hare Krishna also. Give him offered food. So it helps him. Helps him completely. So every activity which you think it is good or bad, every activity if you put Krishna, it becomes good. It ultimately helps him. Any activity which might appear good, but if you remove Krishna, result will be very bad. It will not come out good. By our small understanding, we can't understand. Things will go bad because there is no Krishna. There is no Krishna. There is greed, envy, lust, anger. Is it? And the result of greed, envy, lust, anger is always bad. It's not good. And all over the world, this is a problem. in Cincinnati University, I was giving a seminar. In Fort Collins, Denver. So all these Americans were there. I gave a lecture on spirituality. And then one boy asked, what about word hunger? So that college was College of Environmental Studies. Mm-hmm. It was saying pollution, hunger, and I mean to say you're talking about God and soul, but what about people are dying and so many things happening? What is the solution with you? So I told him, see, first of all, I'll tell you my solution, but what about your solutions? Can you remove hunger? Are you able to remove hunger from this world? Are you able to reduce pollution? In spite of all your techniques, it is increasing. Situation is worsening. And you are spending millions of dollars into projects. Your intention might be good, but your solution is not good. So we have a solution. Now you can try this. And we have a solution. Hunger is why there is hunger. Hunger is not due to lack of food. Hunger is due to some people who are greedy and who are snatching their food. That's the problem. Because Krishna is giving food for everybody. There is no lack of food. If Krishna has made this earth, Krishna is sending people, he will send food also. He's like mother. They will provide. But people are greedy, they are snatching food. So if you want to stop hunger, you're focusing on wrong thing. You're focusing on lack of food. No. Focus on those people who are snatching food. And how do you stop them? You have to make them understand that don't be greedy, don't be lusty. And how do they understand that? Not by intelligence. You have to give them devotion. If there's jahan nahi Ram, wahan rahe kaam, no. So without devotion, they cannot be free of greed, hunger, lust. Until unless they are not free of greed, hunger, lust or whatever, greed and lust, they will be hungry people. Rich encroach on poor. That's history. It's always like that. No. So this perennial problems, there's no solution. So I told him, okay, you do one thing. You take this project for 6 months, for an year. Ask UN, UNESCO, WHO, whatever. Pool millions of dollars and spread God consciousness all over the globe. And this problem will be solved. That's 1 year. For thousands of years you are planning. Nothing is happening. And we are proposing a solution. You do for 1 year. What's the harm? And then he was saying, yeah. okay. I understand. No answer. The point is they don't want to try this solution because they're atheistic people, no?
Yeah.
And they know, actually, that if we come to God, we'll become good. And then we'll lose profit. People fear becoming good.
Yeah.
I have seen that.
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Yes.
Like many all big short businessmen, no, bhaiya, jyada bhakti nahi karenge. Hamara chaupat ho jayega business. So my Tauji.
Bhi nahi jaane denge.
So that's the point I'm into. My Nana was there, my Nana's father.
Yeah.
Previously, even if people don't want to be devotional, they have to, because society was like that, no? Everybody was very, like they used to believe in God and God consciousness. So he was having Janayu, Brahman. But he was a businessman. So, and he was like really, he wanted profit and all this. What he used to do when client used to come, he used to go in room and take out the Janayu.
Oh.
Come out, speak all lies. Loot him and then go and wear that. That's his solution. So that's the point. So you see, this is important. Krishna gives this intelligence, see, that special mercy of God. Without his mercy, you can't understand these concepts. It's very difficult. Without Krishna, things will go wrong. Without Krishna's guidance, things will go wrong. Because Krishna knows past, present, future. He can tell what's happening, how it happens. So these four verses are the key to understanding Bhagavad Gita. 10th chapter, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th. Anybody asks you, what is Bhagavad Gita? And okay, 15 minutes, can you summarize Bhagavad Gita? Come to these four verses. And then you can tell, okay, this is Bhagavad Gita. Aham sarvasya prabhavo. Starting from that, and come to this, Tesham evanukam partham ahamagajam dam trama. So, read with him this, explain him this, he can understand Gita, that's all. Finish. So, these four verses are talking three subjects, Sambandh, Abhidhaya, and Prayojan. This is how you understand Vedas. Any scripture you understand in three subjects. Sambandh, Abhidhaya, Prayojan. Sambandh is, what is our relationship with God? Sambandh, who is God, who am I, what is the relationship? In 10th chapter, 8th verse, Krishna is talking about Sambandh. I am God. I am Sarvasya, everything comes from me, no? I am doing everything. Your soul, what do you have to do? You have to worship me. Iti matva bhajante mam. See, who is God, who am I, what I have to do? Relationship, Sambandh. And the next verse, 10th chapter, 9th verse, is Abhidhaya. What Abhidhaya means? Process. How do you establish your relationship with God? Sambandh means, what is your relationship? Abhidhaya means, how to revive that relationship. That is 9th. How to do that? Always talk about me. Machit madgata prana. Worship me. And 10th and 11th verse is Prayojan. Goal. Goal. And the goal is to love Him. Is it? And know Him. And how do you know Him? How do you love Him? By His mercy. That is 9th and 10th. That's all. Simple. If you know His mercy, you know Him. If you know Him, you know His mercy. It's the same thing. That's all. Okay, so now in 12th and 13th verse, Krishna is praying to Krishna. Arjuna is praying to Krishna. And these two verses are very important. If you want to offer some prayers, this is good prayers. 12th, 13th verse, 10th chapter. You should remember these verses. These verses have to be by-hearted. These are one of the best prayers you can offer to Krishna. Arjuna uvacha, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan, Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adi Devam Ajam Vivum, Ahustam Rishaya Sarve Devarshi Nardasatha, Asito Devalo Vyasa Swayam Chaiva Bravishine. It's very famous. And there are many points in this, but the most important point is, you can read afterwards, Prabhupada explains, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. In Upanishads, Brahma, this word Brahma, comes again and again, Brahman, Brahma. So Brahma means soul, spirit. Spirit, that's all. Anything spiritual is called Brahma. Anything dead is called Bhautik or Maya. So there are two types of spirit. One is Brahma, one is Param Brahma. See, Param Brahma. So God is called Param Brahma, Parbrahma. But Atma is called Brahm. So there should be no Brahm to understand Brahma. That's Brahma. Important. As you get confused. When you read, because many Jnanis, they read Upanishads and they tell that Brahm is God. Is God and soul both. So who are you? You are Brahm. Who is he? He is Brahm. Brahma. And everything is one. No. In Upanishads, categorize. Anywhere there, this word is used, Brahma, Aham Brahma Asmi. You have heard this? Mm-hmm. So what is that Brahma? That Brahma is referring to soul, spiritual nature. Who am I? Aham Brahma Asmi. I am the nature of spirit. But for God, this will never be there. For God, what word will be used? Param Brahma. That mantra doesn't say, Aham Param Brahma Asmi. No. Because you are not God. But people misinterpret this aphorism as Mahavakya. They say, Aham Brahmasmi means, I am God. That's wrong. That's what Arjuna is counteracting by his prayers. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram. Krishna is Param Brahma and he is a person. That is why he is having his Dham, Param Dhamma. Mm-hmm. If you have Dham, you have a person. No. If you are light, you don't have Dham. Location. So,
this, Prabhuji, there is a verse in Upanishad which says, Aham Param Brahma Nasti. I don't know Sanskrit. Nasti.
Aham Param Brahma
Nasti.
There are positive and also negative. Yeah, you're right. So if you read Keno Upanishad, Keno Upanishad, Keno means why, what, who is that, why is that, what is that? It clearly says, that Param Brahma na asti. No. There is a difference between Jiva and soul. Clearly says there. Okay, Purushottam Shashvatam Divyam. And then Arjuna says, you are eternal, transcendental, original, unborn, greatest. I am reading the translation. All great sages such as Narad, Asit, Deval, Vyasa confirm the truth about you. Now you yourself are declaring it to me. So why are you saying this? Why are you saying this?
He's giving a confirmation that all the great sages also...
Yeah, because people can think, you know, Krishna is just telling about himself. Why should we believe? Like, everybody tells about himself. So, Shishupal Duryodhan was thinking like that, no? He's got some mystic powers and he's boasting about, bragging about himself. So, but Arjuna says, no, you are telling, but before you, Narad, Asit, Deval, Vyasa. He gives four examples. You know why? Because Narad is Acharya of Bhakti. So, Bhakti Acharya says, Krishna is supreme. Asito Devala, they are Acharya of Karma Yoga. So, Acharya of Karma Yoga are saying, you are supreme. And Vyasa is Acharya of Jnana Yoga. And Acharya of Jnana Yoga is saying, you are supreme. So, okay, Arjun says, okay, anybody who says, I am Jnana Yogi, you have to believe Krishna is supreme. You are Karma Yogi, okay, Krishna is supreme. If you are Bhakti Yogi, Krishna is supreme. Anywhere, any yoga you do, Krishna is supreme. That fact you can't avoid. So, he gives all four examples. Narad.
Who is Devala Prabhu?
Devala, Asita, they are the authorities of Karma Yoga. Both of them. So if you read Dharma Shastras, there is one Dharma Shastra, Devala Smriti. There are many Dharma Shastra, but Devala Smriti is one authority there. Everybody reads that and you have to judge by that thing. Manu and Devala. Manu Samhita and Devala Smriti. So he gives his example, four examples. And then, after that, you can just go fast forward, and Krishna is telling about himself now. That I am this, of all trees I am this, of all mountains I am Himalayas, of all animals I am lion. But it's not that he becomes lion. What he is saying is, of all animals I am lion. That means, he's saying, lion is a most powerful animal, he's a king of animals. Just as lion is king of animals, I am king of entire spiritual world. He's not saying he is this by the examples. He's giving a metaphor. See? So just like if you go to... So just like people say So if you go to Punjab, people will say, Are tu to mera sher hai.
Sher puttar.
Sher thode na. So this Krishna is giving examples here. Of all great sages, I am Bhrigu. Of vibrations, I am Om. Of chantings, I am holy name, like so many. Mountains, I have Himalayas.
What is the taste of water? What is he trying to...
Of water, I am the taste. So, I am the taste of water. So, he is saying that water doesn't have taste, no? Doesn't have taste. Krishna is saying, see, this is me.
So, what is...
So, the point is, metaphor is, that nobody knows me. They're in contact with me, but still they cannot know me. So what is taste of water? Okay, drink it. Even if you drink, you will not able to come out with an answer. So Krishna says, okay, even if you come in contact with me, still you will not be able to understand me fully. It's impossible. If I don't let you understand, it will not happen. So these are metaphors. So you have to understand by these examples what he's trying to convey. So I am lion, I'm among animals I am lion. So all power, who is making lion lion? I am putting power in him. Because you know it is common sense. All animals fear lion, is it? Even elephants fear lion, although elephant is much powerful than a lion. Elephant can lion like that. But still they fear. So who has put fear in all animals? And he has made lion fearless.
Krishna.
Otherwise there is no logic. Why should anybody fear lion? But there is a natural fear. But animals don't have intelligence to know that this is king. Even without intelligence there is fear. He will roam like that. So Upanishad says, okay, this is me putting fear in them. Because I want to make the lion the king. It is my decision. And he will become. And so that's why Krishna says, among animals, I am lion. Because I have made him lion. You see this, if you read this properly, then you can understand how Krishna is working. This chapter, that's why this chapter's name is Opulence of Absolute. Oh. So you read all these things, and then you come to last verse. Because he is giving examples. And then last verse he says, 10th chapter, 42nd verse, he says, Atva bahunete nakim gyate natava arjuna vishtabhyam aham idam kritsnam ekamshena sito jagat. You got this? 42nd verse, 10th chapter. Yes. Krishna says, but what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. Krishna says, but what need is there? Why he says this? Even though after explaining, he says what need.
Yeah. Okay.
So Krishna says, and previously he said, you should know me. If you hear about me, then you will develop love. But here he says, what need is there? So he is not saying what need is there. He is saying, if you have love for me, if you serve me, you don't need this detailed explanation. Why? Because everything will be revealed to you in your heart. I don't need to explain so much. You don't need to explain. The point is, Krishna is saying, you don't need the detailed knowledge. You don't need explanation. You simply have to read and accept it by faith. Practice and serve me. Point is, the conclusion of knowing me is to love me and serve me. That's why he's saying, what need is there of detailed knowledge? You can keep on knowing me, but come to the conclusion.
That is
the point here he's making. If you don't come to the conclusion, if you keep on knowing me,
then what's the use?
That's why he's saying, what need is there? Or detailed knowledge. What need is there of detailed knowledge? Fill in the blanks. What need is there of detailed knowledge if you don't serve me, if you don't love me? You can keep on knowing me, but the point is, iti matva vasante mam. That's why he's saying. All need is, with a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support the entire universe. So that's what Prabhupada explains in the purport. You can read that. And 10th chapter is talking about pure devotion, about his nature. It is helping us to know Krishna so that ultimately we can come to conclusion. The aim of life is to love him, to surrender him. That's all. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Any? Do you have any questions? They might have this. Mataji is there.
Yes. Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. If anybody has any questions.
Okay. Yeah.
Prabhuji, Krishna is telling it's difficult, it's impossible to know me. Here, like what?
Fully.
No, fully. How can we, what is the role of Guru here? Like, can we, because without knowing him, it's tough to
say. At all, fully, no.
Yeah.
So, you can't know him fully, but you can know something about him. That's what he's telling. I'm telling you about Krishna, no? Is it? What is his nature? So, you're knowing him, no? You're knowing him. But when he says, you cannot know me, you cannot know me fully. Even if you know me, you can't be sure that you have known me fully. That's the point. Otherwise, if you say that you cannot know anything about him, then we can't even do lecture. What we are doing lecture. So, yes, that's the meaning there. You cannot know him fully. That's why he says.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Maharshiyas Bhakta Purve, Chatwaro Manavastata, the seven great sages, and before them the four other great sages. And the Manus. So, who are they, Prabhuji?
Who are they? So seven great sages are the Saptrishis. Saptrishis, you know Saptrishis, no? So Pulatsa, Agatse, Bhrigu. And there are seven names, Saptrishi. And then before them four other great sages. Four other great sages are Kumaras, Brahma's son, Sanat Sanatan Sanat. That's mentioned in the purport, yeah. And then the Manus, you know. That's all. Okay.
Yeah. One question, like you said, if we are doing good and if it is Krishna is not there,
result will be bad.
Bad. But when we are doing bad, but Krishna is there, how can it be good?
It becomes good. Like because, for example, Arjuna gave this very argument, Krishna, it is bad according to scriptures to kill Guru. This scripture says to kill Guru. It is bad according to Shastras that females become unmarried, no, widows. Like after this world, so many people become widowed and world get destroyed because females become unchaste, they are unprotected. So, and Arjuna gives a very logical argument because this is scripture saying it is bad. Now, even though scripture says this is bad, Krishna brings the logic, Arjuna, you are a fool. Because, okay, you are quoting scripture, this is bad, but you should read entire scripture. Scripture says, okay, this is bad, but scripture also says without Krishna, even this, with Krishna, even this bad will become good. So, Krishna says, fight now. You have to kill your guru. Even though female become widows, no problem. Because this is my plan. My plan cannot be bad. You see? So Krishna is taking us to a higher platform. There is something bad, there is something good according to scriptures. There is something. And some things are good, like charity, speaking truth, that's good, everybody knows. But Krishna is taking us to next level. Krishna is saying, see, this is moral platform. Okay, scripture is saying something. But you should understand, you should go beyond this platform. If you divorce me from this platform, then things will go wrong. Result will be wrong. Good will result will be bad, and bad things are always bad. But if you add me, it will be good. That is transcendental knowledge.
Yeah.
Beyond modes.
Yeah. Like you said, Prabhuji, the charity and that student from university is talking about how to solve world hunger, and a lot of people are doing charity to solve that. But is that charity itself is going to the greed based? The greed
nobody knows. Yeah,
nobody. So if the charity comes out of welfare, real welfare, then it takes a different dimension.
Yeah.
Then and, the real solution.
And that will happen when people will not have greed and lust.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they will just take money.
It's just symptomatic treatment.
That's all. Yeah.
Prabhu, to continue the discussion that you had, it was very interesting to hear that your conversation with that. Let's say he might have argued like this God consciousness was more flourished before, but how we came, you know, degraded ourselves when it was there.
Yeah, it happened. That's explained in Bhagavatam, no? When Kali Yuga started, then one thing happened. That at the beginning of Kali Yuga, all these, many kings were there, Mughals and Sultan, like fight started, Kalha, people started fighting. And in this fight, scriptures got destroyed. This knowledge got destroyed. And because this knowledge got destroyed, people lost sense control. There's no knowledge of sense control, no. Nobody knows what is sense control. If you ask what is sense control, what is this? First time they are hearing. So this concept of sense control gets lost. And simultaneously, Industrial Revolution, Renaissance, Enlightenment, the concept of actually enjoying senses, it goes up. The concept of sense control comes down because scripture is lost. Now because of that, because of loss of sense control, even though some scriptures are still there, you can't understand them. Because the prerequisite to understand this knowledge is sense control. You can't understand. And slowly, everything, scriptures are there, but knowledge gets lost. There's a difference, no? You have information, there's no knowledge. Or you have knowledge, but no wisdom. That you can say. Wisdom gets lost. There are books. Speak truth. There are books on moralities, no? Previous Chanakya said something, Confucius said something. So nice things. But people can't do it because they're not sense control. You have to have sense control to do all these things, no? And that's why God consciousness slowly went down. When there is no sense control, you cannot understand God. It's impossible. So, went down. Finish.
As Kali Yuga is advancing, it is even further.
Now I gave him proposal. Know that, okay, 1 year, you pool all funds in all world to promote God consciousness. So, greed, people will get free of greed. But the point is, because these big tycoons, they don't have a concept of sense control. They don't want to get rid of greed. They're fearful. I'll become good. Then what will happen? And why they are fearful? Because no God consciousness. That's the problem. And now situation is so worse that they even don't want that. They have so devolved. They now don't want that.
They're trapped.
They are now they're in that fully infatuated by greed lust. So that's how things went down in Kali Yuga. They explained in Bhagavatam. Or history. What kings were there, what happened, how scriptures get lost, who destroyed scriptures. And that is what Puranas are all about. Puranas is history. How this Kali Yuga progressed. And there were many other things. I mean to say, this Kali, he approached God. And Kali, and then God told, okay, what are you doing? You know, what's happening? So Kali told, okay, God, you give me some time. And I will show who am I. I will make sure, and I can show you that that within some time, I will wipe off all your temples and all your name. I can do that. God told, okay, you can do that. So, okay, show me my blessings to you. So, by my blessings, you will flourish. This is Kali Yuga, no? This is his period. Yeah. He told anyway, this is my period. But if you don't give me blessings, I can't do anything. So, he says, okay, my blessings are with you. And you do whatever you want. All powers to you. So, this is his period. And Krishna has given him blessings. And he will be successful. By the same time, Krishna wants to save pure souls also. So, he comes down and he gives parallel to his devotees. To propagate God consciousness. But for next 10,000 years, this will be there. But after 10,000 years, everything will vanish. There will be no Gita. No Gita. Finish. And then,
and
even if you...
4,35,000 years.
Yeah,
literally. 10,000 years is nothing.
Of course, it's nothing.
So there will be a lot of suffering.
So then we will really suffer. No knowledge. Mm. So in Bhagavatam, it is said, mothers will eat their child. This situation is going to come. And now it's happening. Little bit China, they are eating aborted fetuses, no? Mm-hmm. But that will be like real bad. Like they will really kill you. So these things are going to come. So that's why Prabhupada said, before that comes, you go back to God. Don't come back. Because you have to see again all these things and that will be really horrible.
Because snake is the only animal or whatever... Who eats their own progeny.
Achha.
Yeah.
A snake, yeah, snake eats.
Only snake eats, otherwise nobody.
No, lion also, I think. Lioness also. Lion also eats, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was seeing a documentary also, they were showing that. But probably snake is a prototype. Like it is, lion eats in some special circumstances, not always. Mm. But probably it's a custom in snake that... Snake. You read in some...
No, I heard it in one of the discourses that...
Maybe something. Maybe something. So we all become snakes.
Otherwise everybody protects their children.
Yeah, snake is envious, no? Snake is known.
Yeah, I think that
snake is known for enviousness. Yeah. Snake is known for... Okay, Jai Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.